You're listening to Inner Demons, the comic book podcast based on Marvel's very own spirit of vengeance, Ghost Rider. From Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch to Robbie Reyes, Alejandra, and more, this is the best place for news, reviews, and discussion. And now, here is your host on this fiery road to hell, Brian Biggie. Let's ride.
Welcome, Flameheads, to the newest episode of Inner Demons, the Ghost Rider podcast. This is episode 51 of the show, and as always, I am your vengeance-fueled yet lovable host, Brian Biggie. Tonight we got some great issues on the docket, including Ghost Rider number 5 and 6 from the 2019 series. In addition, we also have a crazy issue from the 1970s, Ghost Rider number 16. And last but not least, we have the poll winner from you listeners that we'll be talking about as well. Speaking of the poll results, let's talk about it right now so we can mention what the last review will be. With 16% of the votes, we had Champions number 3. And tied with 24% of the votes, Trail of Tears number 1 and Ghost Rider 2099 number 16. So guys, that means with first place and 35% of the vote, we have Ghost Rider number 12 from the 2000s. Now, with that being said, I heard back from some fans saying that I just can't review issue 12 without taking on 13 as well. It's a two-part story. It ties into World War Hulk. And honestly, if I'm going to do 12, I might as well get the other one in there as well. Well, I'm a man of the people, and I got to say, I did both, and because you guys wanted it, you're getting it tonight, 12 and 13 tonight on this very episode of Inner Demons. Next, we'll talk about some news. There has been a lot of news recently with all the stuff going on in the world. First of all, I wanted to say I hope everyone is safe and doing well at this point. We have listeners from all over the world, and we really want to say we hope you guys are doing great, and we extend our well wishes to everybody around the world in this situation. So with all that being said, comic books have been, at this stage, relatively stopped for the time being, at least with Marvel. Diamond Distribution has postponed many releases until, at the very least, May 20th, 2020. So that means a lot of the issues that we were expecting will be delayed, postponed, or outright canceled altogether. So that means a lot of the upcoming issues of Ghost Rider and Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider, as well as the annual and any various one-shots that we're going to be tying in, like the Empire series with Ghost Rider in it, will be delayed for a while. What we have here is we have some listings that was just posted by Newsarama saying that they have an updated schedule for upcoming releases. That means on Wednesday, June 3rd, currently, the Ghost Rider trade paperback with Ed Brisson will be coming out on that day. Also, on July 8th will be the next official issue of Ghost Rider, which will be issue number 7. And that will be the Ed Brisson series. So things have definitely been changed on the schedule and the grand scheme of things with the way the world is going. It's not the end of the world. You know, it's comic books are great. And it stinks that they've been delayed a little bit, but there's obviously a lot of things going on in the world right now. So those have been delayed a little bit. I'm just hoping that some of the other ones, like the Vengeance one shot, for example, which brings back Howard Mackey, actually to the fold with a story with Ed Brisson, we'll still be on track. So hopefully that comes a little later on in the year. We don't want to get canceled altogether, as well as Dennis Hallam's Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider as well. So hopefully by the middle or the end of the summer, things will start getting back into the swing of things, and hopefully things will be getting back to normal by that point. And before we jump into our reviews for tonight, let's take a short break with a clip from one of our friends with The Collective, the podcast network we're very proud members of. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Do you like comic books? Do you like superhero TV and movies? Well, come on over and check out the Capes and Lunatics podcast. We have such shows as Capes and Lunatics and Super Connectivity, where we cover everything new and current and popular in the world of superheroes. And we also have episode-by-episode reviews of the Marvel Netflix shows, and a monthly discussion of everything current on the DC Comics character Nightwing, and a few other surprises all the time. So come join us for the Capes and Lunatics podcast.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. The first issue on the docket tonight is Ghost Rider number 5, called Hearts of Darkness 2, by Ed Brisson and Juan Fregeri. At the cruise ship crime scene, Wolverine encounters Punisher investigating Detective Humboldt's murder and the likelihood that Danny Ketz was responsible. We cut to room 666 of a Utah motel room as Johnny Blaze returns to a captive Mephisto. Mephisto warns of Lilith's plan to take over the underworld with Belasco. Back in Brooklyn, Caretaker meets Danny at his mother's grave, and she demands that they stop Blaze together. At the fadeaway bar nearby, bartender Emma is met by a very dangerous foe, and one who has history with the Ghost Rider, Blackheart. Cutting back to the cemetery, Ketch reluctantly agrees to help Sister Sarah, the caretaker, but he is knocked off his bike by a Punisher warning shot. Logan and Castle accuse Ketch of killing the cop and then ask why. Danny transforms not into the Ghost Rider, but the spirit of corruption, and he attacks them. Cutting to a place called Wilder, Kentucky, Lilith is shown investigating the all-seeing orb for information about a mysterious object which will help tip the scales in her favor. She is told that Blaze's power has grown, and he is more deadly than ever. She sends her Lilin, Mara, Vandala, and Helvira to speed things along. Cutting back to Blaze, who is now dragging Mephisto by a chain, until a portal opens and Doctor Strange asks Blaze where he is taking his prisoner. And that's where this issue ends. Before we discuss Ghost Rider Issue 5, we're going to talk about Ghost Rider Issue 6 synopsis first, because they're both a continuation of each other. On Long Island, Stacy Dolan is sitting with her family when her doorbell rings, and a possessed Emma, flanked by Blackheart, demands assistance. Back in Brooklyn, Dan Ketch is still interrogated by Frank Castle and Logan. But Danny's new supernatural sword, the Blight Blade, physically begs for a taste of blood. He gives in and shockingly shoves the blade through the Punisher. Wolverine attacks, but Caretaker says that the dead detective in question was actually a demon killed by Johnny Blaze. To everyone's surprise, Frank Castle stirs and rises to his feet. The Blight Blade is immensely lethal, but will only kill the truly corrupt. And despite his body count, Frank Castle doesn't qualify as corrupt and survives the wound. Dan Ketch returns back to normal and apologizes to his fellow Hearts of Darkness friends. Back in the Mystic Portal, Blaze and Doctor Strange argue over him being left behind in Hell post the Damnation miniseries. Strange apologizes but maintains that he can't let Mephisto walk free. A huge battle ensues. They are good friends but better enemies. Mephisto tries to escape and shows Blaze the way out of the portal. At a Manhattan coroner's office, Dan Ketch and Sister Sarah, the caretaker, finally prove that Detective Humboldt was not human, and she says that King Blaze and his damnation stare need to be stopped by the trio of antiheroes. Back outside the Sanctum Sanctorum, a hurt Strange lands on the street, followed closely by a much more sinister and demonic-looking Blaze. And that is where this issue ends. All right, gang. So for the uninitiated and the newer readers of Ghost Rider, the 1990s had a book called Hearts of Darkness. That was a very, very successful one-shot with Ghost Rider, Wolverine, and Punisher, featuring the three heroes facing against Blackheart and the fact that they were able to defeat Blackheart because they were not just heroes, but they were almost on the very edge of brutality, so they were able to take him down. It's a very well-regarded issue from that time period. They even actually had a sequel called The Dark Design. It wasn't as well-regarded, but definitely Hearts of Darkness is a well-received book from the time, sold a lot of issues. In fact, we reviewed it on the show and even spoke with John Romita Jr. in a past episode of Inner Demons. So definitely something to check out if you haven't in the archives. This issue here, and I'm going to review both together almost as part of the same story, is that while it's great to see Punisher and Wolverine involved again for their Hearts of Darkness connection, at this stage of the story, before we're getting to issue 7, it's really somewhat irrelevant having those characters involved. It's nice seeing them there and kind of updates the readers on what they've been up to, you know, with Wolverine being on Krakoa and the X-Men series. So it really kind of updates that. But and it was cool seeing them speak with Dan Ketch at this point, now that he's no longer the current Ghost Rider, but he's the Spirit of Corruption. So that was really cool seeing them. But at this stage of the game, it's not paying off, clearly. It's not, the story's not complete, but they really kind of seem like an afterthought. So that's a little frustrating at times. Some things I liked about it was I do like having Mephisto as a captive audience, and that's literally speaking, when he's talking to Blaze. It doesn't happen too often where those two get to actually face off, and right now Blaze is in the position of power, and he's just able to exact a little bit of revenge at the pain and suffering that Mephisto has caused him over the years. So that's really interesting. And in a way, Mephisto is almost trying to help Blaze in some ways to take down Lilith, and even if it's like making a deal with the devil again, it's the lesser of two evils in some way, because Lilith has grand plans in mind to work with Limbo and Belasco and to take over the entire underworld. So I do like where that's going. It's planting the seeds of a major supernatural war for the underworld. So that's a very, very big thing. I mean, there's a reason why in the very first issue of Edberson's run here, the very back of the book talked about the other realms that are adjacent to hell that are probably going to play a factor in this story. So I don't think that was there for nothing. I think it's there for a reason. And it's almost like a supernatural game of Risk, where I could see Lilith and Belasco slowly taking over parts of the underworld to increase her power. I mean, she's back and she's ready to cause some problems. One of the things I liked was when we cut to, speaking of Lilith, when we cut to her scene with the orb, even though I wanted to see more of the orb, I love the orb. He was only in a very, very brief scene getting interrogated. There's a brief moment where you see it's in a bar and you see a billiard ball. It actually looks like an eye. I thought that was a very cool little touch by Fregeri. So good stuff. I do like the art of Blaze's skeletal crown, almost turning to Hellboy-esque style horns by the end of the sixth issue. This has been a gradual process. It went from a flaming crown over his head to now part of his bone structure, and now he looks scarier than the things that he's fought over the years. So we can see this slow heel turn, this dark side emerging from Blaze, and not even necessarily slow, like it started to come out more and more, and the longer he's the King of Hell, even though he has people gunning for his throne, his power is increasing. In a weird way, it reminds me a little bit of Zadkiel from the Jason Aaron series. The longer Zadkiel held the throne of heaven, in contrast, he was gaining power, and he would have been omnipotent if he had held on to it much longer. Blaze is almost as big of a threat to the heroes as he is to the villains, so it's a very, very interesting to see him in the situation here. The pace in issue 6 is much better than issue 5, and it addresses Ghost Rider's readers' criticisms following the Damnation series. For those who haven't read the Damnation series, really sets up the status quo for Blaze, kind of sacrificing himself on Earth to oust Mephisto from his throne in Hell. And that series, which was a Doctor Strange series with a bunch of the other related supernatural heroes, was supposed to put Blaze on the throne of Hell so that they would eventually bust him out. But nothing has happened since then. It's been a couple years since that's happened. And to Blaze, if Hell is anything like I think it might be, a couple years might seem like a couple hundred years or more. So to him, he's been left all alone by his friends. So he is pissed off. That's why, I mean, in some weird way, it's kind of cathartic to see him face on Doctor Strange at the end of this. They have history. They've been friends. They've been enemies. It's always great to see them face each other and see what happens. They both have so much power. It's really fantastic. So it's also good to see Blackheart back. I know we haven't seen him in a little while. And if done well, it would be really great to see what his plan is with this whole process. Because right now there's so many moving parts. A lot of villains are coming out of the woodwork. It's almost like it's going to start proving very difficult for Blaze and Ketch to keep up with some of the darkness that's rising right now. The scene with the Blight Blade and Frank Castle was actually pretty surprising for me to read. It totally shocked me when he ran the Punisher through, right through his chest. And I was thinking, I don't know what was going to happen, you know, if the Punisher was going to have to get revived or healed by some magic means. But seeing what the Blight Blade can do is really interesting, that it really kind of punishes the corrupt and kind of, if you're a really bad person, it's a little bit like a pen and stare, but it would like kind of rot you from the inside. It's definitely, I mean, we've seen stuff like that in literature over the years. Michael Moorcock wrote a series of fantasy books in the 60s and 70s and so on called Elric, and about Stormbringer. It's a black blade that steals souls and hungers for violence. And this dark blade that Danny Ketch can bring forth from his body is very much like that in a lot of ways. In fact, I love the part of the sword that reminds you of Danny Ketch's motorcycle front, you know, with the skull and the eyes, the headlights. It's really, really cool seeing that. So there are some fans who are really not interested in this direction of the spirit of corruption, and they're not really intrigued by his costume and his abilities. It's not as interesting as a flaming skull, obviously. But I'm hoping that this is just a way of growing Danny Ketch as a character, giving him a power that he's never had before, and to make him kind of a badass again. I'm not against that, especially if someday down the line he gets the mantle of Ghost Rider again. It was so cool seeing Danny Ketch as the Ghost Rider when he was doing the Absolute Carnage one-shots a while back with the Symbiote of Vengeance. It was so great seeing him back in the saddle. And even though he wasn't the same as he was before, he was a little bit more downtrodden, a little bit down on his luck. It was so cool seeing him back in the saddle and being able to punish the wicked like he always has. So I'm hoping by issue 250, which theoretically would be in the next 10 or so issues, if everything continues, that is, I would like to see Danny Ketch back in the saddle. And that's nothing against Johnny Blaze, but they could really do a lot with Danny Ketch as the Ghost Rider again. Blaze is fantastic. I know a lot of our listeners love Blaze, but he has been the Ghost Rider pretty much for most of the character's history. So I want to see Dan Ketch back in the saddle, and I'm not alone on that. There's a lot of our listeners who are big Danny Ketch fans, and I still want Blaze involved. I think Blaze has a huge role to play in the story, but I want to see more of that story. So now, with some of the things I didn't like about these issues, they aren't perfect by far, but I already mentioned the fact that Logan and Frank Castle at this stage seem just kind of tacked on to the story, as well as some of the pace as well. The story jumps around quite a bit, a little bit too much for me. There's 12 or so scene changes in these two issues alone. Some of them are only a couple panels long, so I think that doesn't do a good service to the story, because we're always switching scenery. We're always switching to the next scene. We're cutting to the parallel action of something else. And I see what Ed Brisson's trying to do, but there's a lack of consistency. You know, for example, the start of issue 6, we see Stacy Dolan open her door, and we see the possessed Emma with Blackheart. But we only see that for a page, and then we never see her again for the rest of the issue. So things like that is frustrating for the reader, because it's a huge cliffhanger. We don't know what's going to happen, and we don't ever cut back to it. So it's an inconsistent tone of the story. So that's just my take on that. There's a scene with, I'm usually a huge fan of Juan Figueres' art, but early on, the Punisher's face, it doesn't look right. You know, when we first see him in 5, it looks even more rough than you would expect, almost like kind of a zombie or something like that. So I think it's a rare misstep from Fregeri, but overall, I mean, I'm a really big fan of his art, but it's just something I didn't really dig. It didn't seem right. It actually didn't even look like Frank Castle. If I didn't see the skull on his shirt, I wouldn't have thought it was Frank. The Lilith scene is, like I mentioned a little while ago with the orb, it's still a little off. You know, it's We don't fully understand the role of her soldiers, also what this quote-unquote object is. I know they're kind of just planning this foreshadowing for later, but right now, the Lilith stuff hasn't been really affected, despite the character being a huge thorn in Ghost Rider's side over the years. Right now, her new look and her motivations are, it's not working, it's not fully clear, so I'm hoping for more clarification on that in the future, and I really think Ed Brisson will bring that to us. So this is really just the middle part of the story that just feels like the end because we have so long to wait until the next issue. So I will say for Ghost Rider issue 5, it's going to get a passing grade. It's going to get 3 flaming skulls out of 5, while issue 6 is markedly better with 4 flaming skulls out of 5. All right, gang, next up is Ghost Rider, issue 16 from 1976, called Blood in the Water, by Bill Mantlo and George Tuska. Dear listeners, there are several issues over the years that are so insane that they make us question reality and second-guess everything we know about comic books. For example, Ghost Rider's Mangaverse, or Ghost Panther. How about What If Ghost Rider Went Metal? Or who can forget Danny Ketch's red and yellow jumpsuit? Well, guys, let's add Ghost Rider 16 to the list. The issue where Ghost Rider seems to fight Jaws right on the cover, which would have been amazing, except it doesn't really happen in the comic at all. It's a tale as old as time, guys, right? Boy meets girl. Boy falls for girl. Girl's dad works for the CIA and uses a mating call to strap dolphins with explosives. What can go wrong? Let's go with a synopsis here. Johnny Blaze takes a well-earned weekend vacation in Baja, Mexico, but finds himself getting shot at while riding his bike along the beach. In a nearby cabin, Nancy Phillips had been arguing with her father, who was using a rifle to shoot at dolphins in the ocean. During a struggle for the gun, the shot went wild and struck Blaze's tire, causing him to come down to Nancy's rescue. When the scene calms down, he follows her to the beach, where she tells her story. When she was a child, her father worked for the government using dolphin mating calls to direct the animals at targets after having bombs strapped to their backs. When his daughter fell into the ocean, he saw a fin coming at her and assumed that it was a shark, not knowing he was firing his rifle at the bomb-toting dolphin, who was still nearby. The explosion killed Nancy's mother and drove her father insane, leaving him with blaming the dolphins for his wife's death. They hear gunshots from Phillips' boat, and Blaze is able to make his way aboard just as he pulls away from the dock. The struggle causes Johnny to transform into the Ghost Rider, but Phillips' insanity just allows the men to accept the bizarre occurrence. Phillips continues to fire at the dolphins, but a wave capsizes the boat, putting the deranged man right in the path of a hungry shark. The dolphins attack the shark, saving both Blaze and the unconscious Phillips, and one of the dolphins then gives Johnny a ride back to the shore on its back. Nancy is waiting for them and is nonplussed by Blaze transforming back into his human form. Phillips apologizes to the dolphins, recognizing that they saved him, and Blaze says that he thinks that they heard and understood him. And that's where this totally nuts issue ends. All right, guys, so this issue is as insane as I made it sound. Like I said, it is a fill-in issue from Bill Mantlo. Typically, this run was done by Tony Isabella, but he was not on this issue. So, from what I understand, this was probably an 11th hour submission for the Ghost Rider's story. So, for what it is, it's really strange. It's pretty bad at times, but it's also a little bit fun if you can kind of laugh along with it. For the second time this episode, actually, a bullet strikes Ghost Rider's tire, the first being when the Punisher shot Danny Ketch's tire in one of our previous reviews, but I thought that was kind of a funny coincidence. The boat that Mr. Phillips owns is called the Sea Devil, of course, and the flashback that he talks of his daughter's youth is so bad that it's good. It doesn't make really a lick of sense. It's totally off the wall in a great way. And of course, the Ghost Rider's transformation doesn't strike anyone as weird in this one. It's just so absurd. Both Phillips and his daughter, when they see Blaze either with his head aflame or becoming human again, they don't even blink an eye. They're totally nonplussed, and it's totally insane. So with all that being said, it is obviously not a great issue. But it's fun, okay? For example, for people who don't like the Ghost Rider's appearance when you can see his eyes, like his actual eyeballs, this is going to be a bone of contention for a lot of folks, okay? No pun intended. George Tuska draws Blaze's skull when he's the Ghost Rider with his eyes, and actually the opening page almost seems like he has a tongue as well. So it's definitely a little strange. And a lot of people actually criticize Vince Coletta's inks on it because it kind of, even though Tuska does a good job in a lot of parts, it doesn't do it any favor. So a lot of people do criticize some of the art on some of these issues here. It seems like Blaze only drove like 30 seconds before he encounters Phillips in this one. You know, he crosses over the border, he meets the angry border patrol officer in Mexico, and it seems like he's driving just for like a minute, and then this whole thing goes down. So in a sense, the Mexico setting of this story is really out of place. It doesn't really do a lot for the story other than just to say Blaze is away from the champions. He's kind of on his own. He's away from work for Hollywood, and he's not working with the champions right now. So he's just doing something on a little weekend. And of course, even on a weekend, he can't get a break. There's a line in this where Phillips is sniping the Dolphins. It's totally insane. And he's yelling, "You know what they did." And the whole backstory of him blaming the Dolphins for his wife's death and her disappearance is ridiculous. Okay. And your mileage may vary depending on if you're willing to take this with a grain of salt as just a little quick issue. I mean, when this first was released, this is only a quarter, guys, okay? So things were a little different back then. If this was released nowadays with the cost of comics now being $4, $5 and more, there might be a different story. But and I know that, you know, it's all relative, but still, I mean, a quarter is not too bad for this kind of a thing. But overall, it doesn't do a lot to further Isabella's story that was really starting to build up with the Hollywood setting and the orb and the appearance of the friend and this and that. This is really kind of like a day in the life of, and it's a totally insane day in the life of. There's a scene earlier on where Nancy gets slapped by her dad. It's a little weird. It's a little uncomfortable. This is a book that's directed towards children, basically. And there's a lot of stuff in this run that is pretty strange for kids, but this one is definitely one of them, you know. And if you were a kid picking up this comic expecting to see Ghost Rider battle Jaws or a great white that's similar, you are out of luck. I'm sorry, my friend. The only thing you're going to see is Ghost Rider struggling with a guy and not succeeding with a man who's not even trying to kill him, basically. And he has to get saved by dolphins, which is just the icing on the cake, you know. And then they attack the great white. They get the great eye off him, and then they help him get back to shore. It's one of the most insane sequences and panels that you'll see in Ghost Rider history. I've been posting pictures of this sequence on the Twitter page for a while, and people have been laughing at it. So it's really unusual, and I mean, depending on how you like this kind of stuff, it's either worth picking up just for a curiosity's sake, or stay far away from. If you're looking for a serious Ghost Rider story, this is not one of them, okay? In a way, Ghost Rider is kind of a loser in this one, okay? The Dolphins are the real heroes, okay? They fight off the Great White. They say that they bring him back to shore. They even save Phillips, who's been trying to kill them this whole time. So they should really be the heroes of this tale, you know? And Ghost Rider doesn't even fight the shark at all, which would have been made a much better book, to be honest with you. And there may even be some parallels a little bit with a couple issues back. We had Ghost Rider fighting the Hulk on the cover. When we open it up inside, it really was just a reprint of his origin, or just a tease of the next one. It's a little bit like that, where it's, you know, a bait and switch a little bit, where you open it up and it's something totally different. So out of five, I mean, it's almost irrelevant, but I would have to say either 2 or 2.5 Flaming Skulls out of five. That may be too generous. I mean, but I was laughing through it, the whole thing. I had a good time with it. But it is not something that I would recommend to diehard Ghost Rider readers to track down for completionist sake. Just only if you really, really would like to. That's what I would do. All right, the final review of the night is the two-part story called Apocalypse Soon by Daniel Way and Javier Salteras. And it involves fighting the Hulk during the World War Hulk storyline. So first up, we have issue 12. Inside the cockpit of an airliner plane, one pilot reveals himself to be the host of Lucifer and kills his co-pilot. He looks out the windshield of the plane and sees the Ghost Rider coming down the runway towards him. The pilot attempts to play chicken using the plane, but Ghost Rider wraps his chain around the jet and rips the whole cockpit away from the rest of the plane, causing it to crash and burn into flames. Lucifer walks out of the fire and is hit by a speeding gasoline tanker truck that explodes. Before he can finish the kill, Ghost Rider sees the survivors from the plane being rescued by firefighters. Lucifer, still alive but badly burned, taunts Blaze by asking, "Get the bad guy or save the innocents." Before the decision can be made, the rest of the plane explodes, killing the passengers, and Lucifer escapes. The next morning, Johnny wakes up on the side of the road and has an internal argument with the Spirit of Vengeance about all the people that died aboard the plane. Blaze begins the ride to Buffalo, which was the destination of the Lucifer-shared plane, but he's stopped when he sees a mass evacuation out of New York taking place. Assuming it's because of Lucifer, he stops in a diner and sees a news report about the Hulk having arrived in New York City with an alien army. Hulk has given 24 hours to evacuate the city and has demanded that Doctor Strange, Mr. Fantastic, and Iron Man be brought before him. Blaze leaves the diner to go stop the Hulk, but the Spirit of Vengeance stops him, claiming that it is not their affair, and Blaze is foolish to jeopardize the lives of billions threatened by Lucifer just to save a few. Johnny regains control of the Ghost Rider body and says, "Yeah, I am that foolish," and he rides through the army barricades that have blocked off Brooklyn and enters the empty city, finally coming face to face with the Hulk. And that is where this issue ends. All right, next up is the final issue of the night, Ghost Rider number 13, the second part of Apocalypse Soon. Also by Daniel Way and Javier Salteras. In the middle of evacuated New York City, Johnny Blaze has found the Hulk, who has taken over the city and demanded revenge against Iron Man, Doctor Strange, and Mr. Fantastic. Blaze tries to talk some sense into Banner, begging him to stop what he's doing, but the Hulk laughs and sends him flying away with a clap of his hands. Hulk walks away, and while the Spirit of Vengeance tries to convince his human host to let him take over, Johnny has an idea. He takes off on his bike, dragging his chains through the foundations of two buildings, causing them to crash down on the Hulk. Blaze stops the bike, thinking he's actually won, but the Hulk's hand comes up through the ground to drag Ghost Rider down into the subway. Hulk tries to tell him to go away and leave him alone, but Johnny is arguing with the spirit inside his head. When he says, "Shut up," to the demon, Hulk thinks he's talking to him, and angrily throws him back up through the hole in the street. As he soars into the air, Blaze throws down his chain, which wraps around the Hulk's neck. Thinking he has Banner caught, he attempts to drag him out of the city, but instead pulls to the street a subway train car that Hulk had attached with the chain. Johnny hears a roar and looks up to see the Hulk perched atop a tall building. Screaming, Hulk jumps down and crashes on top of Blaze, the force of the collision blowing out a crater in the middle of the street. Meanwhile, Reed Richards and Doctor Strange have both been observing the battle from their homes, and Reed asks Strange if the Ghost Rider could possibly defeat the Hulk. Strange says that, yes, the Ghost Rider is possessed of boundless, godlike power. But it's not the Ghost Rider that's fighting the Hulk right now. It's Johnny Blaze. Reed asks if there's a difference, and Strange explains that the Ghost Rider human host acts as a safety mechanism to keep the Spirit of Vengeance's full power in check. But as the Hulk stands over the defeated Blaze, who is laying in a crater, Strange realizes something that frightens him. Johnny is no longer in control of the Ghost Rider. And that is not a favorable occurrence. Ghost Rider blows up the street with an enormous explosion of hellfire, which actually staggers the Hulk. The rider leaps out of the crater on his bike, stares at the Hulk for a moment, and then rides away out of the city. Doctor Strange explains to Richards that the Ghost Rider only avenges the innocent, and the heroes that betray the Hulk are all guilty and deserve their fate. And that's where this issue ends. So guys, now we come to two of the best regarded issues of Danny Way's entire run on the character, Ghost Rider issues 12 and 13, Apocalypse Soon, the tie into World War Hulk. And honestly, if you haven't read World War Hulk, it doesn't actually cause a problem for this story. A lot of readers haven't read World War Hulk, and they just read this, and they get just as much enjoyment out of it. So it is definitely worth picking up and checking out, and we're going to talk a little bit about why. The opening airport scene, it's a pretty big way to open the story. Really kind of raises the stakes. I mean, a lot of people perish in the opening scene. And just seeing Lucifer's plan, how evil he still is, it just shows that it's very important that Johnny tracks him down and destroys every avatar of Lucifer that's out there still. Even though every time he does, it's still going to get harder and harder to do so. This is really kind of ups the ante, seeing how many people that Lucifer had in the plane that ended up dying, you know. And of course he gives the age-old villain you know, dilemma of, he asks him the ultimatum, you know, get the bad guy or save the people. And unfortunately, because of Blaze's fight with his inner monster, he basically waits so long that he doesn't achieve either. He doesn't save the people and he doesn't catch Lucifer. So it's one of those things where it really is kind of a turning point in Ghost Rider's relationship with Johnny Blaze. As usual, whenever Javier Saltar is involved with a story, the Ghost Rider looks fantastic. The bike looks great. It just feels right having Saltar on this story. And if people don't remember, Javier has been with the Ghost Rider off and on since 1990's Ghost Rider number one with Howard Mackey. So it's one of those things where it just feels right having him doing the art duties. Seeing Johnny Blaze controlling the spirit and then hesitating, he's really trying to, you know, maintain control and kind of like, you know, drive the ship, so to speak. But the Ghost Rider is the power, and the human host just kind of limits the power. So it's this age-old struggle between the two. And during the course of these two issues, we're going to see that relationship change a little bit. Maybe this is what's needed to stop Lucifer for once and for all. Because right now, even though Johnny has been successful, he's still not tapping into the full potential of the Ghost Rider. With Blaze's personality coming through, the skull actually looks pensive and actually unsure. You almost see it in the face. He looks like a little scared, a little not sure of himself. But of course, when Zarathos kind of maintains control, he takes over, you see much more of a traditional angry Ghost Rider visions of the skull, you know. The internal argument with Ghost Rider and Blaze, don't interfere, it's very compelling. It reminds me of a late 70s, early 80s vibe with J.M. DeMatteis and so on, where you have Blaze and Zarathos, the demon possessing him, having a difference in philosophy, this back and forth argument over who has control. And that's always a compelling thing. You know, it's much more fun to see Blaze struggle with that than to just them be copacetic and everything working perfectly. Okay. Seeing the two diametrically opposed is what really makes Ghost Rider an amazing character. Really one of, besides other things, of course, that's one of my favorite things. Seeing the two characters fight. And that can even be carried over to Danny Ketch's run too, with Noble Kale and so on. Whenever you have that human host arguing with the demon, it just makes a very compelling storytelling. Okay. Speaking of that, the Hulk news story does a very good job of catching up the readers if they haven't been reading the prelude to World War Hulk and seeing what had happened to Hulk. Even though we don't know all the details, we know Hulk is back and he's pissed off. And we know that the heroes that we usually know and love, like Iron Man and Black Bolt, are in trouble. Hulk has them in his sights and he is angry. Okay. When Blaze exerts control, he does a great stunt off the Brooklyn Bridge, which, by the way, years later, I'm pretty sure that's where Johnny Blaze dropped Danny Ketch into the river. Just saying. It's the same area. But it was a great scene. And then, of course, he slides into the city and sees Hulk standing right there. It's a hell of a way to end this issue, despite the fact that I think if you opened up this issue hoping to see Hulk and Ghost Rider fight, you're not going to get it till the very next issue. Okay, so... with 13 itself, I like that Johnny Blaze tries to appeal to the Hulk first as a friend. He tries to argue that he can relate. He knows what it's like to fight the inner monster and to withhold it back. And Bruce Banner just is like, dude, get out of my face kind of thing, you know. So, you know, the empty streets in New York basically become their playground for the battle, okay. Ghost Rider drops a building on Hulk. It's amazingly done seeing how it happens. He wraps the chain around the building, drops it. It's a great scene. And of course, Hulk just brushes it off like no problem. Okay. And the funny part is, normally when you see someone like that in a comic do this, they're like the villain, but Ghost Rider is the hero in this situation, and he's dropping buildings on people, on Hulk, and it's still not doing anything. So it's just kind of one of those interesting things. When Blaze answers Zarathos, he gets himself in trouble with Hulk, like I said earlier. You know, that was actually a little moment of humor in there where he's saying, shut up, he's talking to Zarathos, and guess what? Hulk thought it was him, and he's angry, he's pissed off. Of course, I can't talk about this issue without the scene that everyone talks about. This is when we cut to Doctor Strange speaking with Reed Richards about what is going on. Having the discussion about Ghost Rider's power levels and how it's basically a wonder of mystic design, it explains so much of what the human's role is compared to the Ghost Rider, and how that's how it's always been since the dawn of time. Whenever there's been Ghost Riders, there's always been this kind of dynamic. But having Doctor Strange come out and say that, and he knows too, the fact that he's a master of mystic arts, saying that the Ghost Rider is not something to be trifled with, is a really great thing for most, if not all, Ghost Rider fans. It really kind of validates a lot of what we feel about the superhero and how his power levels is so off the charts. It's definitely something that's really great, and I'm sure it's one of the reasons why this issue and the one before it won the poll this time. And they said, I just couldn't review the one before at 12. I had to do 13 as well, because it's the end of the story. This is the big payoff of the story, of course. So mostly I have glowing reviews for this particular one. You know, I do wish there was a little bit more of the Hulk Ghost Rider fight. I wanted to see more of that. I wanted to see Hulk be a little bit afraid of the Ghost Rider and so on. But it's kind of an interesting thing to leave the book, is that the Ghost Rider drives away and lets the Hulk to his mission because in his eyes, he's not guilty. Is he causing a lot of damage? Absolutely. But the Ghost Rider stepping aside and letting the Hulk deal with his own vengeance, basically. So if I got to give a rating, this is one of the best comics that I think we have reviewed on the show itself. So with that being said, I got to give it pretty close to 5 Flaming Skulls out of 5. It's a darn near perfect couple issues that goes a long way of not just telling the battle between two of Marvel's biggest heavy hitters, but also gives much more of the lore, the backstory for Ghost Rider's limitless power and how the human host ties into that, which is really the meat and potatoes of what the Spirit of Vengeance is all about. It's not just a flaming skull and just someone who likes to punch people and take his spikes out and swing his chain. Like, this is the constant battle between who the host is and who the power is. So highly recommended if you guys haven't read 12 and 13, but Apocalypse Soon, one of Danny Way's absolute best work on the character, bar none. All right, my friends, that brings us to the end of tonight's episode. But before we go, I want to read some listener feedback using the hashtag PostWritersGR. Ghost Rider UK says, Part 2 of Apocalypse Soon from the World War Hulk issues has one of my favorite panels in any Ghost Rider book ever, and he isn't even in it. Dr. Strange describing Ghost Rider's power set has won the quote-unquote who would win and quote-unquote Ghost Rider versus arguments ever since. Probably the best contribution to Ghost Rider lore from the Daniel Way run. Berserker King says that the panel of Strange talking about the power of Ghost Rider is an all-time oh hell effing yes, but I do wish the writers would have shown the Hulk actually fear the Ghost Rider, if only for a moment. Reminds me of a panel from Cosmic Ghost Rider number 5, where the planet literally quakes at Ghost Rider's step. And that's the part where he says, do you have any idea how much I hold back to not destroy world as I walk? That's from the Cosmic Ghost Rider miniseries that Berserker King's talking about. Now, concerning the Ghost Rider issues 5 and 6 from Ed Brisson, Mayor Don Johnston says that the reunited Hearts of Darkness team was just okay, but not the highest of shots of this current run, in his opinion. He does dig it, but not so much as the early issues. You can tell Ed Brisson is still cooking the story from the first year run. But now the World War Hulk issues were great, but we definitely miss Texera inks. And last but not least, we have James Duncan Comics says, what bugged me was that they called it Hearts of Darkness 2, but there already was a second one, kinda, called The Dark Design, which I know we talked about earlier this episode. But yeah, they did call it Hearts of Darkness 2. That was interesting, but out of the two, Hearts of Darkness is obviously the most the more significant of the two. So I could see why they're doing that. And honestly, some fans don't even really remember the Dark design as much. So those are the Post Writers reviews from our listeners. So thank you guys for sending that in. So the last order of business tonight, guys, is to play a really great clip that we received from Michael Philbrick, also known as @SOVCollector on Twitter. He's one of our longtime listeners, and he's been a Ghost Rider fan for most of his life. And his collection is unbelievable. So it's really, really great. If you've seen some of his stuff online, it's fantastic. He sent us in some of his feedback on Ghost Riders issue 12 and 13, which is the World War Hulk issues. So we're going to play that out for the end of the show. If you guys have any insight into our upcoming reviews for the next bunch of episodes of the show, we want to hear it, okay? Just contact us on Twitter, @InnerDemonsGR, and we'll figure out ways to get your feedback into the show, whether that's through like a voicemail or reading an email or even your hashtag PostWritersGR, which we've been doing all along. So you guys are the co-host of the show, and we appreciate all the listeners. So that's how we're going to get through these episodes. So thank you guys for all that. The next episode we do on Inner Demons is going to be episode 52, and we'll be reviewing Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider number 3 and 4, as well as Ghost Rider number 17 from the 1970s, and maybe a mystery book that we might add in there in between. So we shall see with that, maybe a poll or something. We also will be announcing some more details on the contest. I didn't forget about that, but the world is a little crazy right now, if you haven't noticed. So we will be touching base about that soon. I'll give you some more details when things settle down, as a way of giving back to our listeners. And last but not least, Inner Demons is a proud member of the Collective Podcast Network. We are a podcast group of folks who do shows about superheroes and pop culture and all sorts of great things. So if you like all that stuff, definitely check out @CollectivePods on Twitter, or find out all the other shows that we have that we're involved with. It's really wonderful. So definitely check them out. We will see you next time on Inner Demons. And Michael, take it away, buddy.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor to be a part of the best podcast on the internet. My name is Michael Philbrick, also known as SOV Collector on Instagram and Twitter. And this is my review of Ghost Rider 12 and 13. While Daniel Way's run might not be the most impressive part of Ghost Rider's history, he really knocks it out of the park within these two issues. We get a deep look into the struggle between Ghost Rider and Johnny Blaze. In issue 12, we see Johnny struggling to maintain control over the spirit of vengeance in the name of protecting innocent people, while Ghost Rider is determined to destroy the remaining vestiges of Satan. Johnny, the ever-reluctant hero versus the unstoppable force of vengeance. And then we see the power struggle spiral out of control in issue 13. Johnny and Ghost Rider's dynamic really shines true because Johnny thinks he's going to save New York. The Hulk is typically considered one of the Marvel Universe's most powerful entities. If you were to ask a large group of comic fans who would win, Ghost Rider versus Hulk, the short answer would most likely be Hulk. And we're talking traversing the galaxy to hand out an ass-whooping, just wreck shop on a screaming Black Bolt. Nothing is going to stop me from my own mission of vengeance, Hulk. In my opinion, one of the scariest Hulks ever. And then we are given one of the best pages in all of comics. Definitely one of Ghost Rider's most peerless moments. I've had many moments in comics that have caught me off guard or made me reread a page just to make sure I took it all in. I was not prepared for page 22. And I'm sitting here reading and watching Ghost Rider and Hulk beat the snot out of each other. I can't describe the noise that came out of me, but it was not natural. It made such an impression on me, I had the page framed. Dr. Stranger's answer to Reed's question eloquently sums up what Johnny has been dealing with for years. It also delivers some of the best argument fodder when it comes to who would win discussions. The answer is always Ghost Rider. There's so many smaller facets to these two issues that are awesome, like the Deadpool-esque word balloons between Johnny and Ghost Rider, but I hope you'll seek out these two issues and find all of the things that make it special for yourself. And I'd just like to say thank you again to Inner Demons for allowing me to review two of my favorite books.